This episode of Talk Central is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time.
I'm Richard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 241 for the week starting 19 November 2018.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central. You can WhatsApp the show 071-999-1111.
On Talk Central this week, the operators are all a Roman.
Also on the show this week, Bitcoin falls out of bed and then falls down the stairs. Load shedding makes an ugly comeback. Telkom to switch off its 2G network. And Google is exploring VR shoes with tiny motorized wheels.
Exciting stuff. It's Tuesday, not quite our usual time, and it's time to talk everything tech.
Welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
It is indeed a Tuesday afternoon. No, the show hasn't disappeared. We've just had our heads down and been very busy with the sort of pre-December holiday madness. But we're still here and we're still recording, just doing it on a Tuesday for a change.
Yeah, we'll be back to normal definitely from this weekend, I'm sure.
This weekend, for sure. But lots to talk about since we've been away for a bit. So let's dive into the podcast. But before we get into the news, let's do our quiz.
The first question. Eskom has introduced new load shedding stages. How many stages are there now?
Tech Central this week, or last week actually, recorded a podcast with the former administrator of NASA, who served in the role from 2009 to 2017. Really loved that interview. Who is he?
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
The third question, which South African fintech startup this week secured 7 million rand in funding from Kalon Venture Partners and Compass Venture Capital?
And how many .za domains have been registered to date?
The last question, which bank will this week launch a mobile virtual network operator after saying a few years ago it decided not to do so?
That launch happening tomorrow. But we'll get to the answers to the quiz at the end of the show. But let's dive in. Lots to talk about, Richard, since we last chatted. And really interesting development around roaming. We're all a Roman, Roman on the Gloman. So we know that Cell C a couple of months ago signed the roaming agreement with MTN and said it would move its roaming off Vodacom, and that it would get seamless roaming on 4G LTE on MTN's network. Big coup for Cell C and, I suppose, for MTN as well, to lure that business away from Vodacom. But just a week or so ago, Telkom and Vodacom announcing that they have entered a new roaming agreement. Now, Telkom customers have been able to roam in the past on MTN's 2G and 3G networks. They're now going to be roaming on Vodacom's 3G and 4G networks, and 2G, ooh, I think. And also seamless roaming, which means if your signal is handed over from a Telkom tower to a Vodacom tower or vice versa, the call will not drop, and the handover will be instantaneous, which is a big step up for Telkom customers. So, quite exciting. Basically, Telkom and Cell C and Vodacom and MTN have done a big switcheroo. And so Telkom will now be on Vodacom, and Cell C is now on MTN. The Cell C roaming is actually in effect already. So if you're a Cell C customer and you roam outside the cities, you will roam onto MTN's network. And if you are a Telkom customer, you can expect the same to happen before June next year when the existing roaming agreement with MTN expires. I suspect the switchover will probably happen even earlier than that. But the seamless handover is quite cool.
That's pretty cool technology. I agree with you. I mean, the way that could happen, if you think about it, I mean, that's a lot of things that has to go right for that call not to drop.
Yes. Now, what's interesting about the difference between the two deals, which I find fascinating, is in the case of the Cell C MTN arrangement, the agreement is only for towers outside of areas where Cell C doesn't have coverage. So they've selected towers around the country, and if you happen to be in one of those areas, then you'll roam onto MTN. So this will be outside the cities. It'll be in the more remote parts of the country. The agreement between Telkom and Vodacom is for nationwide roaming. So if you're in the middle of Johannesburg and you have excellent Telkom coverage, you can still switch to Vodacom if you want to. So it looks to be a better deal for Telkom customers than the MTN arrangement for Cell C customers. That's always been the arrangement between Telkom and MTN. If you wanted to, you could switch your phone across to MTN, albeit not on 4G. You'd have to step down to 3G. Now, this is interesting for a number of reasons, because first of all, what's going to stop you if you're a Telkom customer from telling your phone to roam on Vodacom's 4G network permanently?
It makes sense. Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Vodacom has a better network than Telkom's. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Telkom's network, but Vodacom, we know, invests must be 8-9 billion rand a year in its network. They have extensive 4G coverage, and we've seen through the Ookla speed tests that it has a faster download and upload speeds on average than its competitors, particularly the smaller guys like Cell C and Telkom. Now the question is, I wonder what this does for the costings for Telkom if suddenly a big chunk of their customers switch their phones across to roam exclusively on Vodacom. I'm sure Telkom does not want to do that. I'm sure it's not in its financial interest for it to do that. So it intrigues me.
But it's part of the agreement. So for it not to happen is almost like, but you should have expected it to. In a way, do you know what I'm saying? But we were speaking about this last week when we were talking about phone upgrades and stuff between you and I. And when you told me about Telkom's deals, I was still wondering, like, why would I want to go to a mobile operator that's not got proper coverage like a Vodacom or MTN? I mean, I'm still intrigued by that. I still decided to stick with MTN because I couldn't make that switch to a third party operator, essentially. And I'm intrigued by how people like it. Is it purely a costing?
Well, I'm a Telkom customer. I've been using it for about 3 years now. And I switched because the prices were just so good. I switched when they launched the freemium plans. And I live in a city. I live in Johannesburg. And generally speaking, I have no problem with Telkom coverage. Some places I might find that the coverage is not as good, like in the basement of a building, a parking lot, for example, where for some reason Telkom or MTN seem to have better. Sorry, Vodacom or MTN seem to have better coverage. There's no Telkom coverage in the Gautrain underground, where there is coverage from Vodacom and MTN. But apart from those very few examples, I have pretty much 4G LTE coverage from Telkom wherever I go in Johannesburg.
All the time. Now even more so because you can switch permanently to the Vodacom towers, right?
Exactly. And when I did have an issue, if I had like one bar of Telkom signal, because I was deep in a building somewhere in the middle of Sandton, for example, and I needed to file a story, I needed to connect, and I wasn't getting a good experience on the Telkom signal, I'd just switch my phone to MTN 3G. Which is a great experience. On MTN 3G, I typically get more than 10 megabits a second. So there's no real issue there. So if you live in the city, Telkom is not a problem. The coverage is generally good. I think you do need to check that you've got both good coverage at home and at the office. And if you have both of those, then it's really not an issue. We know Vodacom's coverage is significantly better. So what's going to stop you from switching over? Now, I did ask Sipho Maseko, the group CEO of Telkom, about this. I said, what are you, how do you deal with this? And he said to me that they're looking at more using software in the network to more aggressively step you back onto the Telkom network after you've been switched across to Vodacom. And he kind of implied that there may be a way for them to, even if you force your phone to roam on Vodacom, to have it switch back to Telkom.
Okay. Now, after a period, probably, or amount of data or something?
This is what he said, but I'm actually not sure that's the case because you're controlling it from your phone. I'm not sure the network operator is able to force your device to switch back to their network after you've told your device that you want to be on a particular network. So while he says this, I actually wonder whether that's technically possible. I don't know the answer to that.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting question. My first thought would be yes, that they could potentially reset the number to their default, the routing, from where it should be. I don't know. That might force the phone to switch back to a default because the SIM card is still essentially a Telkom SIM card, right? So you're operating on let's call that running on the telecom network.
Yes.
I don't know. I would probably wager a small bet to say that you can. It's an interesting question, though.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to watch anyway. I'll be annoyed, actually, if I switch my phone across to the roaming partner network and then it switches itself back.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason I switched to it. I do keep my phone on Telkom. I don't roam on MTN all the time, although it's going to be more attractive for me to roam on Vodacom, although not at home because the Vodacom signal here is shocking.
So Telkom works better for you in your environment?
It does. It does. It does indeed.
It does make Telkom a lot more appealing because we had this conversation, and I couldn't justify going to Telkom for any reason. But if this was in place when I was thinking about it, it probably wouldn't have moved to Vodacom, but it would have made it a lot more appealing to go to Telkom.
Yeah,
But again, you have to wager up the amount of effort it takes to just transfer your accounts and I mean, how much is R100 here and there going to really affect usage, really? Because I still got Afrios as my data backend, so I am paying MTN for a little bit of data, for 1 gig of data, but all my data is running through Afrios, so I'm still got this dual system setup.
Yeah,
I guess it's not as efficient as somebody that's running everything through one account, and that's what the average consumer would do, right? They would just go to an operator, give them a lot of money, and then get data and calls, and then question why. Why do I have 1,000 SMSs and not 1,000 megabytes of data?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it made no... I use a lot of data on my mobile phone. Not an excessive amount, but it made sense to switch from my previous provider to Telkom because I was paying... I ended up paying less than half of what I was previously. And on my previous network, I was always worried about going out of bundle. I was constantly having to top up. But with this new one, I never get close to using the 20 gigabytes a month
freebie
plan I have. I mean, I'm lucky if I get half of that, but I don't mind paying, I think it's $500 a month, because I don't have that worry all the time about going out
safety
of bundle.
Net. And it also, it's when the job calls for it, you can't be sitting there trying to load data. You're going to have it. I agree with you. And that's why I've got my data set up the way it is, because I get pretty cheap data that way.
And it changed the way I use my phone when I got onto this plan. Whereas before, I would never watch a YouTube video on the go because I'm worried it's going to eat up all my data. Now I think, here's an interesting YouTube video. Let me watch it. And I don't care what I do on my phone. I update apps. I don't wait till I'm back in my home Wi-Fi to update an app. I just, there's an hit the update button. I want to listen to a podcast in the car. No problem. Download it over mobile. And that's the way it should be. You shouldn't have to be worried about mobile data all the time.
You see, with my setup, I've had that for a while. I haven't worried. I mean, I've had obviously good data at home, but whenever I'm out and about, or if I do a little road trip and I want to download an audiobook, I would just do it. You know, 300 megabytes is nothing if you're paying 50 rand a gig. With a little bit of pre-planning, and if you have data to spare, then that's the way you should be doing it. You shouldn't be worried about it. I mean, our phones are so good. We both were talking about these devices and. You don't want data to hold you back.
Absolutely. But, it's going to be interesting as a Telkom customer to see how this roaming agreement pans out. But in the next coming 6 months, we'll have an answer. And
Should work out well.
I'll provide some feedback to the listeners of the show as to how exactly this roaming is going to work and whether I can switch across to Vodacom permanently without it worrying about it switching back. I'll probably just carry on using the Telkom network, to be honest. But some customers will want to switch on to, especially if they live on in an area where the telecom coverage is not great.
But would the average consumer really know this?
That's the other point. That's the other point. So someone, I'm not going to name him because I think he might be a bit embarrassed. But I know another technology journalist who was gobsmacked when I told him that that you can roam onto another operator's network through the phone settings. He didn't know it.
That's interesting.
So if this is a tech journo who writes about the stuff for a living didn't know that, then maybe your average consumer just doesn't know this and will never figure it out.
And some guys will know and they will probably use it, and others, majority, probably won't. So they won't really lose out in the bigger scheme of things. It kind of just helps them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great thing if you'd be able to do it. And I hope they don't restrict it. I really hope.
No, I hope not either.
Be.
Yeah, maybe they'll just let it run as long as it as long as there isn't a mass switch and people just roam on Vodacom all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it would also be area dependent, like you said, with you in your house now. I mean, Telkom works better for you there. So there's a lot of people that's in your position. I've lived in a few places where neither of the major operators reached efficiently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got very strong Telkom and MTN coverage at my house. I've got a weakish Vodacom signal, and Cell C is non-existent.
Should we do a quick speed test and see who's got the fastest data throughput on their mobile device?
On mobile, all right. Let's try this.
Yeah. I'm switching off my Wi-Fi.
I know you're going to win. Yeah, let me switch off the Wi-Fi. Otherwise, it's going to be.
Well, I've got a 4G plus symbol on my phone. Is that a good thing?
That is a good thing. I have 4G plus as well, but I suspect you're going to win hands down here. Let's make sure we use the same.
Quite tasty. I'm not going to lie to you.
What are you using? Speed test.
Speed test. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to open the same app. Go.
It's sitting comfortably at 66 megabits per second.
Wow.
Okay. The upload is a different beast. Let's try that one. I mean, that's impressive. I've never actually looked at it from my heart because I'm always on fiber and I've got 50 meg. But this is actually better than my 50 meg fiber, which is...
Yeah, but it's not uncapped.
Yeah, it's not uncapped. That's okay, my upload is only 10, so
okay.
Fiber still wins.
All right, my upload speed, my download speed is 32.3 megabits a second.
Mm-hmm.
This is on Telkom, this is not on roaming. And my upload speed is, it's just about to finish, 7.8 megabits a second.
Okay, so it's there's a difference. And try it on Vodacom and let's try, would it be on yet? No, it wouldn't.
I'd have to switch it to, no, it's not on yet. I'd have to switch it to roaming on MTN, and that does take a short while.
Yeah.
But 3G typically, I have done it. I have done it before, and it's always easily 10 megs a second.
Mm.
But yeah, 32 megs. I mean, are you really going to notice a difference between 60 megs and 30 megs at the end of the day on your mobile device? You're not.
No, probably not. Exactly, because you're not going to be using it to consume a huge chunk of data. It will, you know, your downloads for your apps and stuff will still be remarkably quick. You know, if you're going to do a quick Google Maps update or something or whatever you want to do, I mean, that's a benefit of it. You have these bursts of speed, consume a bit of data, but you're not going to. I mean, obviously, the other thing is if you're going to look at YouTube videos, it's going to do the highest res automatically if your phone can handle it.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing you just need to be cautious of. But if you don't really care about it, I mean, a 300, 500, 800 meg video doesn't really make a difference.
No. Yeah. First world problems.
No, exactly. As long as we've got decent data. But 5-bit spoilers.
For sure. So let's move on to our next topic. Have you been looking at the Bitcoin price in the last few days?
I've heard a lot of glass breaking sounds.
Yeah, that was Bitcoin falling through the floor.
I haven't been worried about Bitcoin at all. I don't have any vested interest in this.
Yeah. I'm picking up some static on the line. I don't know if it's your mic. It sounds like it might be a bit loose or something. Maybe just check the sockets there. But Bitcoin has it's a shocker. It fell all the way to about $4,100 this morning, it's really is falling out of bed. And just a couple of weeks ago, it was sitting at $6,500. Some technical analysts I've been reading have suggested that the next target is $3,000. And if it falls through that, it could fall to $2,000. And there's no clear reason why it's doing this. A lot of speculation has centered on the hard fork of Bitcoin Cash, and that this may have somehow prompted this decline. I'm not sure. I haven't understood any of the reporting I've read on this and why that might be the case. But certainly, Bitcoin is not in a great place at this moment. And I unfortunately bought in at around $7,200, so I'm feeling some pain here.
I was speaking to somebody who just is in the financial industry, and we were just having a chat about Bitcoin. And let's just say we didn't have a chat about Bitcoin because Bitcoin seemed to be the biggest swear word on earth when you speak to anybody in the financial industry. And I just got the sense from him that they don't believe in it. They think it's a fad and it's going to pass. I mean, okay, it was an audience of one, right? But, I mean, it was an interesting, you know, just seeing it from somebody who's very active in a financial service industry, looking at this. I mean, obviously, it might not be in his interest. I don't know. So, obviously, he doesn't look at it as a solution. But, you know, it's not the first time I've seen sentiment to that nature where people, you know, the average guy, again, you know, look at Bitcoin and say it's a tech thing. I'm not going to be too worried about it.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it based on? Where's the basis for it? What is it backing? That's the kind of thing people ask the most. Look, I would love for it to work because I think it's fantastic. Decentralized money, you know, taking away power from the bank. Those things are fantastic. Mm. But it's interesting how these technologies, you know, go in these ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
We speak about them all the time and then they kind of dip away. And now they are just volatile at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm watching it with a great deal of interest and a great deal of worry at the moment, having invested in it. Thankfully, I haven't invested too much, but enough to feel the pain of these declines. But
I don't think it's going to go away, to be honest. I mean, there's always going to be a need for it. Mm. But I still have two big questions about any of these algorithms or any of these digital currencies. I still want to know what calculations are they solving? I can't seem to get a straight answer on that. That's like, what are we solving here when we mine for Bitcoin? And then the other thing, you know, it's just I actually lost my train of thought. But what are you mining for here? Like, what is the thing that's the underlying thing that you're mining for in your hardware? That's pretty interesting. I look forward to seeing how this thing's going to play out. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, though.
For sure. Well, let's hope not. Anyway, we're going to take a quick ad break. We're going to fix Rechard's mic, which is making all sorts of weird noises, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity for business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Are you a search engine? Because you found me.
I feel we have a strong connection.
Well, you're pretty fly for a Wi-Fi. Should we drop it like a hotspot and head back to yours so we can show Max and snuggle? Let's get giga with it.
But I don't have fiber.
Don't get caught in 50 shades of delay. Broadband your horizons and switch to Vox's super fast, super reliable fiber network. Experience the momentum. Connect your world. Visit us at vox.co.za/fiber.
Well, welcome back to the show. How's it, Rechard?
How's it, Duncan?
So, load shedding is back. Did you get shed the other day?
No, fortunately, touch wood, no, I didn't.
No, me neither, luckily. It seemed like the south of Joburg was affected. It was only stage one load shedding, but Eskom is warning that they've got serious problems with their coal supply, and we could see load shedding return in a big way heading into Christmas. And they've also announced that they are increasing the number of load shedding stages. So, you know, that up to now we've had 5 stages, stage 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. They've now introduced stages 6, 7, and 8. Now, while they've said that it is unlikely we'll ever get to stage 8, if we do, basically half the country is going to be off at any given time. So 12 hours, basically, of outage every day. Now, that would be an economic catastrophe if it happened.
Yeah, that's going to be huge problems. But how are we here again? Like, unfortunately, we're going to have to follow the money and follow the incompetence. And, yeah, I mean, it's sheer incompetence. I mean, how can a country's main source of power, electricity, get to a point like this again? Not the first time. It's not like the first time in a blue moon. It's like, wow, it happened.
Shocking management, corruption, you name it. I mean, Eskom is a disaster. Monopoly. If we had competition, I guess there's less chance of this sort of thing happening. But here we are on the brink of load shedding again, and it's going to be a candlelit Christmas by all accounts.
But what does the law say about alternative source of energy? Nobody's allowed to come in and produce alternative energy, right? That's what the law says.
No, they are. They are. There is the. I'm not an expert on the subject. I don't write about it, but there is the renewable energy program.
And, renewable energy, but nothing else, probably.
Independent power producers program. I'm not sure the details, but I believe that, that they are allowed and that Eskom is required to buy a certain amount of electricity from those independent producers, but I'm not sure what the details are.
They're probably too expensive to set up as well at the moment. I mean, it's not. Those panels are still very pricey. Any renewable, I think, it's a big investment.
Well, after a short break there, I think we have resolved our audio troubles there.
Richard, technical issues, let's hope.
You are sounding a lot better than you were a moment ago. So what exactly went wrong there? Was it a USB connection or something?
Maybe, I don't know. I rebooted my machine, tried the USB. It's an external audio controller, right? So these things use USB. I guess it could be a number of things. Shouldn't be the PC, but anyway.
Yeah, you're still coming through louder, interestingly, in the right channel than the left channel, which suggests there's still an issue. But
probably, yeah. Look, end of the year is coming. There will be a format of the machines in a week or two. Hopefully, that'll solve all the issues.
Right, but you are sounding better, so let's plod on with the podcast. So Telkom is going to switch off its 2G network probably sometime in the next 12 months. Now, this is a very interesting development. They will be the first operator in South Africa to do so, mainly because the other operators can't afford to do so because they have so many legacy feature phones on their networks. I'm sure Vodacom, MTN and Cell C would love to switch off 2G and reform that spectrum for providing 4G LTE, but they can't do it because they still have millions and millions of feature phones on their networks. Telkom, on the other hand, which was launched, which launched its mobile network much later than the others, never really had an issue with 2G customers on its network. They have some, I think a couple of 100,000 they're sitting on, 200 or 250,000 currently, but that's a drop in the ocean compared to their 6.5 million users on their network. So the vast majority of their users are actually on smartphones. So this allows them to switch off their 2G network and to reallocate that spectrum for mobile broadband, which is very positive for Telkom. There is the issue of the 200 and 250,000 2G customers still on their network. But when I chatted last week with Sipho Maseko, the CEO of Telkom, he said that, you know, maybe this roaming agreement with Vodacom will allow us to push those customers onto the Vodacom 2G network and we can just go ahead and switch off, which I thought was quite interesting. I suppose they could have done the same with MTN, given they had a 2G roaming agreement with them as well. But I think it puts them in a strong position relative to the competition, able to switch off 2G. MTN and Vodacom would love to do it because they'd love to reallocate that spectrum, but they can't.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's a lot of old, dumb devices still out there. I mean, I guess, who do you upset at a certain point, I guess.
Yeah. So that'll happen in sometime in the next 12 months, no doubt. So it'll be interesting to watch roaming. Lots happening in the telecom space, actually. Lots of developments.
Exciting times. Look, 2020 is approaching. I mean, that's the next future, right? Mm-hmm. 2020, the future.
God, can you believe it's almost 2020?
I know, it's crazy. But we're going to have our technology sorted out by then.
I remember when the year 2000 looked like a long way in the future. Now we're almost 2020.
And remember the issues we had with Y2K? Oh, my word.
The .com.
Crazy.
Not .com, what is it called? The dot bomb? No.
Yeah, the dot bomb, the dot com bubble, yeah.
The Y2K bug.
Little did we know that wasn't the issue we had to be worried about. It was a 2008 global financial crisis. That was really the thing that hurt us.
Indeed. So in we seem to be having a few of these segments lately, Recha, thanks to you, who's coming up with these offbeat stories. Our offbeat story this week, you've dug up a story about Google exploring virtual reality shoes with tiny motorized wheels. What on earth is that about?
Now, Duncan, as you may or may not know, the main problem with VR in your home is size and space of your VR area that you can play in.
Yeah.
Now, when you first, for those who don't know, when you first set up your VR console or whatever you want to call it, you have to kind of define a space within which you can play. Now, the bigger the space within, I mean, obviously these things can only go up to a certain size if you buy a kind of off-the-shelf kit. Mm-hmm. But let's say the average lounge, given like a 5x5 meter room, you know, you usually have stuff in between. So it's kind of difficult to play in many spaces, unless you have the luxury of having a big room that you can utilize for this, which interesting enough, a lot of people are doing. They're buying houses with additional rooms for VR, apparently. But Google, actually, Alphabet has filed a patent recently, which was pretty interesting, to address an issue that VR users, or that VR users will definitely have in the future, and that is space. If you remember the movie Ready Player One, in that intro sequence when everybody was kind of on VR, on these little motorized treadmills where they were just running in all different directions. I'm sure you remember what I was talking
I
about.
I have not seen the movie.
Oh, no, you must watch it. It is fantastic. Well, I'm sure the entire global population that has seen it, listening to this podcast, will know what I'm talking about. But, you know, within VR, if you want to get around, you know, you are limited with where you can go. So being able to, I mean, you don't want to be clicking controller to walk around. That doesn't enhance the experience. So in the movie Ready Player One, what they've shown there is like mats, that, like a treadmill, but it just runs in every direction. You just kind of, some of them are in this harness and you can just run in all directions. But now what Alphabet has done is they've thought about a very different way of approaching this. And that is essentially shoes, or a harness to your shoe that's got a little motorized wheel on it. So a little platform essentially that you can walk on. And what these motors can then do, I mean, if the technology works as well as what they say, so you will walk as what you would normally walk around, but the motors and the sensors would know where you are, and then within them move you back as is needed. So you might walk forward and then keep walking, but these things will keep moving you back slightly to prevent you from bumping into a wall. I mean, the idea sounds pretty good if you think about it. I mean, it's just as well you have little wheels on your shoes that just keep you from running. You can essentially run in the same place. So you have little treadmills on each feet, or on each foot, and they would obviously be able to independently control them. I like the idea, to be honest. Having played a lot with VR and looked at some of these technologies, it makes a lot of sense. Cost, obviously, and you know, technology capabilities and how this will work is a different thing. But the fact that they think about this is good enough for me, to be honest.
I wonder how many precious paintings and vases and things have been destroyed by people wearing VR headsets and careening around their lounges.
I mean, you remember the Wii incidents with the Wiimotes hitting TVs. Yes. I mean, this is just a different level up.
Yeah.
Look, there's been a few solutions. I mean, you've seen some of these around. The thing with the dish at the bottom where you can run. So you're kind of strapped into a harness, and it looks like a half a dish underneath you, like a half a conga drum almost. So you keep running, but you stay in the same place.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of things that they showed in Ready Player One.
Yes.
But this makes a lot more sense for a consumer point of view, because you don't have to be buying a big bulky thing. And I think it'll feel a lot more natural too, provided you have a smooth floor, because these wheels will be able to take you in any direction. So if you're kind of walking to the left, this thing can take you backwards and to the right, or backwards and left back into yourself or something.
Yeah.
So it can essentially reposition you without you knowing it, if it does it with a smooth enough motion.
Yeah. Sounds interesting. So are they going to bring it to market, or are they just thinking about it at this stage?
No, this is just a patent. So, yeah, look, this is we'll probably start seeing some prototypes. I'm sure there's some prototypes floating around. I mean, they wouldn't just be patenting this if it wasn't something they believe in, I'm sure. Mm. Or maybe that's just a frivolous patent, but I think there's definitely some something to this. There's been some, there's been like those other products I mentioned, where you kind of get strapped and you walk on a dish. There's a Kickstarter for another set of what are they called, VR shoes. But it's not quite the same as this. You kind of, it's a different platform, and you kind of, it doesn't have wheels or anything. So there's definitely people thinking about the technology and what the solution is.
Yeah.
This is certainly the most ambitious version, I think, if you think about the technology that would have to go into these things.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, look, we're in the era of VR, and these are the issues that's going to need to be addressed for it to be really powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's our news this week. Let's move on to our regular features. We don't have a winner this week, unless, Rechard, you've got... You've got one that you want to pick.
No, I don't really have any winners.
And a loser this week, Bitcoin investors, for obvious reasons. And I suppose the question is, are the hodlers still hodling? Or have they gotten out with this latest collapse?
I know. I don't know. I would stick around. I mean, we've seen this thing go very high, right?
Yes.
What do they say in investment terms? Sell, what are they? I don't know. What is it? Buy low, sell high.
Yes.
We're definitely low now, so keep holding on.
Yeah. Well, the question is, are we low relative to where it's going to be in a month from now?
Oh, yeah, true. And it also depends on how much you've got to lose, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We'll be back on Sunday with a winner, hopefully. Richard, what's your pick this week?
So, Duncan, as a fellow PC enthusiast, I've got something that you might find very appealing.
You're about to make me very jealous.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, this is a very geeky thing that's my pick this week. But I don't know if you remember a conversation we had a few months back when I built my PC and I opted for a kind of enclosed water cooling system. So it's not a full-on water cooling system. It's just a little reservoir, fans, and a CPU block. So it's an enclosed water cooling system within the CPU cooler, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So what I've been playing with here is kind of the ultimate version of that. It's from a company called Corsair, and you may have heard that brand before. They do a lot of other things, memory, hardware, keyboards.
Yes, I have a Corsair keyboard.
And
a case, in fact.
Yeah. The cases are fantastic. Yeah, I've also got a case. But now this thing is called the Hydro Series H100i RGB Platinum Extreme Performance 240mm RGB Liquid CPU Cooler.
That's the most ridiculous name of a product I've ever heard.
It's three lines. It's three lines that I read there, but I had to kind of give a description of what this is.
Do that again slowly.
Okay, so it is the Hydro Series. It's the H100i RGB Platinum Extreme Performance 240mm RGB Liquid CPU Cooler.
That's funny.
I mean, it sounds like a mouthful, but the picture is beautiful if you see it or if you see it in real life. But essentially what this is a CPU block that fits onto your CPU with a dual fan system and a reservoir kind of backing to it. So it's an enclosed water cooling system.
Yeah.
What makes this really cool is it's obviously got the dual cooling fan, which is the reservoir is bigger, and it's got amazing RGB. You have to see this to really kind of appreciate how beautiful flowing this RGB is.
Yeah.
But in all reality, this thing works really well. And the reason why it does so is because it's just able to dissipate heat from your CPU a lot cooler and then, you know, cool it and send it back to your CPU. So it's like having the benefit of a water cooling system.
Right.
But just on one component. My temperatures, if with and without it, so normal my kind of CPU would run at, let's call it, about 45 to 50 degrees idle. Mm-hmm. With this CPU cooler on, it's about 15 degrees cooler. So, you know, I'm looking at about 30, maybe 35 degrees at idle. So there's always a 15 to 20 degree difference with running this CPU cooler and my previous one or even a stock fan air-cooled system. All in all, you know, even if you're doing a little bit of overclocking or just want to make sure that your PC isn't running hot, you know, if you kind of, because it does also impact the heat in your room and that kind of thing. So if you want to make sure your PC doesn't spew out a lot of heat all the time, this kind of thing is definitely a good solution. But I mean, the fact that it's a water cooling, you know, it just works a lot better than your basic air cooling system. So yeah.
And it's cool too, I presume.
Oh, yeah, no, that RGB looks absolutely fantastic. And, yeah, look, it's not the – in terms of setup, I mean, these cords, it's pretty interesting if you look at how it's – so you've got this square little box that fits over your CPU, just a little block with some RGB in it, and then you've got these two pipes. I mean, this is all closed up, so you can't you can't kind of open it up and drain the liquid, so you don't have to worry about topping up liquid or anything. It's kind of just – you know, that's where it is, and that's what is, you know, it's a closed system. So it's kind of having all the benefits of a bit of air cooling, but it's all running in an enclosed system. I really like it. This is a test unit, but I'm trying my hardest to buy this unit because I do like it. Mm-hmm. It works much better than my previous one, so I'm very happy with it. And it's only about $2,100, which isn't bad if you want, you know, to optimize the cooling in your machine.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, interesting that the world of water cooling is back. I mean, that was I remember these rugby field sized data centers that the banks used to run, and they had these massive IBM mainframes in there, and those were all water cooled.
Yeah.
So we've kind of returned to the water cooling days.
Yeah, look, there's so many new. It did go away. I mean, the last time let's call it 10, 13 years ago, when I was big into PC building, water cooling kind of, you know, it was there, but it was very much enthusiast, and it kind of faded away from the scene, and now it's back with a vengeance, and there's some really interesting setups out there.
Yeah.
Because it becomes so much easier to do. I mean, you can, if you have the right tools, if you just really need a heat gun and the right piping, you can build custom shapes within your case. I mean, you still need to know how to craft a little bit with your hands, but it's not as difficult as what it used to be, because the hardware is relatively easy to buy.
Yeah.
Pricing obviously is another thing. This one isn't too expensive, so it's a nice like intermediate solution. But it's fantastic. I mean, you can even get guys that dunk the entire PC in a solution, so it runs within a special oil that is not conductive to electricity.
Wow.
Now that's the way to do it. You know, if you really want to go overboard,
that's hardcore. Cool pick. My pick this week is Huawei's new Watch GT. I recently upgraded, as you know, Richard, to the Huawei Mate 20 Pro, which is a fantastic device. I know you've been playing with one as well, and I think you're also getting one on upgrade.
I couldn't resist. Yeah, it's a fantastic phone.
It is a fantastic phone. But as part of the sort of promotion for this thing, as one of the early adopters, one of the first buyers, I registered for a promotion they had for the free Watch GT, which retails for about 5,500 rand. So I was very chuffed when I managed to secure one. And it arrived this morning, and I've been playing with it a lot.
Ooh.
It is really beautiful. It is really beautiful. It's got a classical sort of watch design to it. It's not rectangular like the Apple Watch, which is a shape I really don't like on a watch. It's perfectly circular. Mm-hmm. Comes with a beautiful brown leather band. And the screen is amazing. It's an OLED screen. And it gives you all sorts of interesting data, like the current atmospheric pressure, if it's of interest to you, your altitude, your heart rate. It obviously pairs with your phone to pull some info off the internet, like the current weather conditions, sends you notifications, etc. But what's interesting about this is it's running it's not running Android Wear, which Huawei did with their previous watches. It's running a custom OS. I think it's called Lite OS, if I remember correctly. The battery life is acclaimed, and I haven't been able to test this yet since I've only been using it since this morning, but it's got a claimed battery life of 2 weeks. Which is remarkable.
Wow.
It's got three satellite navigation chips built into it. So I presume one is
nice.
GLONASS, one is the Chinese one, which I think is called I can't remember what the Chinese one is called, obviously GPS. So it locks onto satellites pretty quickly. They claim that you can switch on the GPS and go running with this thing, and the battery will last for 18 hours, which is just incredible.
Wow, that's impressive. You should go try that on a trail run.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do an 18-hour trail run. But
come on, push yourself. You can do it.
But I must say I'm very impressed with this. I wasn't I don't know what I was expecting, really, but my expectations, whatever they were, have been blown away. And I look forward to playing more with it. But very impressive little device, this Huawei Watch GT.
But does it tell the time? You haven't actually said that yet. I don't even know if it's a watch.
Time,
does it tell the time?
Yes, it does. It's got some great watch faces as well. The one I've got is, I think, a little bit of a rip-off of the Apple with a little circular thing showing you, you know, how many steps you've done and all that sort of thing. It also shows you the heart rate on screen, which is fantastic. My heart rate is 56. That's amazing. I think I've been sitting too long. and it's beautiful. It's a stunning watch. Mm. Rich after I've got one, I think probably worth the purchase. Separately, if you own a Huawei phone, I'm sure they play very nicely with the Huawei Health app. But that Huawei Health app is available, I think, on non-Huawei phones as well. So you can buy this
with
Samsung or pair it with any other Android phone. But I'm impressed with what Huawei's doing lately. They really have lifted their game.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's the first time that I've been swooned, by a phone, and this is definitely it. I mean, it's just ticking all the boxes, and everybody that I've shown it to is also kind of blown away.
Yeah.
It's the alternative. I mean, I would have never thought that a phone like a Huawei would have appealed to me, really. It's never had that. They just never had the product.
It just wasn't there. They just weren't as good. But now they're there. Not only are they there now, but they've in some ways they've pulled ahead with things like in-screen fingerprint reader.
Oh yeah, I mean that's definitely a major feature that wows all the geeks. But I was talking to a guy today. What was the previous one that upgraded? The P20 Pro, right?
P20 Pro was announced earlier this year.
And I'm not going to lie, that thing looks so dated in comparison to this one.
Yeah.
It looks very dated. It's maybe the screen. I don't know. It's just they've really pulled ahead with this one. It's going to be hard to top it, I think, even for them next year. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But the camera is also amazing. I mean, the fact that you can do some macro shots, that puts a new spin on things.
Oh, the macro is amazing. And I love the way you just basically put the phone close to an object and it automatically switches into super macro mode.
Mm. Yeah, look, I mean, some of the AI stuff I've been playing with, you know, the blurring stuff when it automatically does a portrait mode, it's not perfect by any means.
Okay.
It works depending on the subject. Sometimes it just overly blurs something or it misses spots. But, you know, I'm not expecting everything to be perfect. I just switch it off, to be honest with you. I just like the raw, you know, the raw photo that you get, and I'll edit in Photoshop later.
Okay. So I think that's our show. Richard, I didn't ask you before the show. We are flying by the seat of our pants a bit in this podcast today. I didn't ask you what your song pick was. Do you have one? Otherwise, I have one lined up here.
I actually do have one, but should we do a little roulette? I don't know what
No, what have you got? Tell me what it is, and I'll line it up.
So I've been rediscovering some tunes that I found, and this one actually I've discovered on, I think this was MTV, when MTV was still a thing. But it's by a band called Kasabian. I don't know if you know them at all.
No, and you're going to have to spell that for me.
Kasabian.
Found it.
Great rock band. It's a song called Where Did All the Love Go? And it's pretty apt, I think, in today's day and age. Like, man, society is missing something. But it's not about that. It's really a cool rock tune.
Where Did All the Love Go? Here we go. Kasabian.
With the magic of Spotify, you can queue it up instantly.
I've never heard of this band. They're
fantastic. I would definitely put them, if you got Spotify, put them on Spotify and listen to their top 5 to 10 tunes.
Yeah.
Fire, Underdog, Wasted is a few really great tunes. Shoot the Runner is one of my all-time favorites as well. Great video with that one as well.
Great stuff. Well, this is Kasabian, and we will... Oh, we haven't done our quiz results. Almost forgot.
Ah, yes, let's do that.
Let me do the first one. Eskom has introduced new load shedding stages. How many stages are there now? And that's 8.
Tech Central this week recorded a podcast with former administrator of NASA who served in the role from 2009 to 2017. Who is he? And the answer is Major General Charles Bolden.
Which South African fintech startup this week secured 7 million rand in funding from Kalon Venture Partners and Compass Venture Capital? And that's a company called FinChatbot.
Interesting. The fourth question, and I was surprised by this number. How many .zeta domains have been registered to date? And the answer is 1.2 million, of which 1.1 million are .co.za.
It's amazing.
I've probably got 30 or 40 of those.
Me too. You also a domain.
My little piece of heaven, yeah.
Domain hoarder like me.
All my ideas that never worked, all those little businesses and little things. Now they're all test beds for other developments that I'm doing. So they actually came, they're useful.
Yeah.
But it's nice to own a little digital domain. I mean, there's so much you can do with it. I encourage everybody to buy some domains.
Yeah, you should at least try and register your name if you can.
Yeah, your surname.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the last question in this week's quiz, the quiz we almost forgot about. Which bank will this week launch a mobile virtual network operator after saying a few years ago it had decided not to do so? And that is Standard Bank, and I'll be at the launch tomorrow, so keep an eye on Tech Central for all the info on the MVNO launch.
Interesting, but I'm still wondering, I still don't see why a bank would do that unless they want to keep customers, give them some added benefit. It's an interesting business model. I would like to see what they do with it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do different to F&B with F&B Connect.
Yeah, that's the thing. What's the next new idea?
I bank with F&B and I have no interest whatsoever in using their MVNO.
Mm, yeah, exactly. Because you don't know how long it's going to be. It's not really in the event. They're a bank, right? You're right. Mm. They should do the money thing. Not
they also don't have the best deals on mobile.
Yeah, true.
So we'll be back. We will be back hopefully in our normal Sunday slot this weekend, and we will almost certainly record live. If you want to join us, we record at 1 PM on Sunday afternoons, and the web address to use to join the live show is live.techcentral.co.za. And remember, you can WhatsApp the show. The number to use is 071-999-1111. And again, we are playing out with "Where Did the Love Go?" Rechat's pick, a band called Kasabian. Until next time, from Rechat and myself, cheers.
Ciao.